Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. And I'd like to ask you, how well do you connect to others? Are you a good people person? Some are, some aren't. Well, let's hope for the best. Well, maybe we can do a better job. So the idea is to learn how to connect better. We can all learn to connect better. And there's a book called The Art of Connection. And it's a wonderful book. I'm very excited about having read it. I think I can connect better with people now. And we're going to be interviewing the author of The Art of Connection, Michael Gelb. Michael, welcome to Energy Stew.
Thank you so much.
I'm so glad we can talk about this because we all need to be more aware of what connecting means, how important it is, and how to do a better job at it. And your book is very comprehensive. I loved all of it because there's so much in it that there were so many ahas along the way, and I got to take that note and that note and that note. And so I want to congratulate you because it really is a thorough job.
Thank you so much. You made my day. I really appreciate it.
Well, I'm connecting with you.
Yes, you sure are. You're my new BFF.
Oh, good. So a lot of your book is geared towards not just connecting with people, but connecting so that we can be better leaders in the world, no matter where, you know, corporate, family, community, wherever we feel that we want to influence people, this is the best way to do it.
That's the idea. And everybody, of course, has their own connections in their life, and it's the fabric of life. It's really what gives life meaning, and there's lots of research to show that our sense of connectedness is the single greatest correlate with our long-term happiness and our health and even our longevity. So if there was a way to enrich connection, to deepen connections, to develop more skill in connecting with others and bringing out the best in others, well, it seems to me that that would be some pretty valuable knowledge, and it's something that I've been passionately interested in throughout my entire career and really my whole life, because there's just no separation here between the business aspect of leadership and the personal aspect, whether you're a parent, involved in a community group. How do we bring out the best in ourselves? How do we bring the best in others? How do we deepen our connection? This is golden stuff. So I tried to power into this book to share all the most important elements of what I've learned and what I really aspire to practice in the course of my life thus far.
Right. And there, on so many different levels, it was so helpful to see. But it starts off, let's start with how well we can manage ourselves in connection with others. There's so many ways that we trip ourselves up and ruin connections with others.
Right. Well, you know, the real issue is waking up. The real issue is becoming more self-aware, because we tend to operate on automatic pilot. I mean, most of our visible behavior is driven automatically. Our thoughts are happening below awareness, and we rarely reflect on why we do what we do, what's the purpose of our lives. So bringing a little more awareness to each of those areas and becoming more aware of what's behind the actions and what's driving the thoughts and what's really motivating others. And this comes out really simply. I could say this much more simply by saying, what are our needs? What are the needs of the other people in our lives? And how attuned are we to the strategies we've chosen for fulfilling our needs and for helping others fulfill theirs? Because people don't usually think of leadership as being about meeting needs, but that's really what it's all about. To be a great leader, you've got to be super skilled at helping lots of people meet their needs. And to say, that's what you're doing as a parent, as a partner. You're trying to help your partner meet their needs while you meet yours. And that requires relationship building skill.
Also, it requires a strong sense of one's own self, one's own light, one's own wholeness, so that we're not just communicating from a place of our own lack and insecurity and then live very subjectively and sometimes aggressively or defensively. And I've done a number of shows on communication that have to do with a higher level of thinking that isn't subjective, that really doesn't come from that place of our own fears and worries that the other person, that we have to compete with the other person, that it's a win-lose, and we have to fight for our own values. And often in what's lacking because we go into a fight or flight stance. So we're assuming, I would say in this talk, that we're assuming that people are able to be high-minded about it, which is, let's call it even Buddhist detachment, where they're not quick to judgment and, that they're not seeing a competitive nature in every relationship and, want to bring out the best in people.
Yes. Well, here's the paradox here, because I know lots of lovely people who aspire to that Buddha's notion of non-attachment, and they try to be very free internally and not respond with judgment and so on. I've never really seen that work.
Okay.
So, in other words, what I mean by that is the aspect of our nature, the automatic judgmental response, doesn't go away. The question is, how quickly can you become aware of that tendency to judge or to act out of fear or whatever the impulse is to respond competitively, like you said, to feel that there's a scarcity in a situation and that it's a zero-sum game and that you have to win and the other person has to lose. This is the way we condition to view conflict. So I don't think we're going to just change that automatic and response right away, even from reading my book. As a fact, what my book says is, instead of trying to change your nature, become aware of it and just shift to a deeper part of your nature, which is awareness, which can reflect upon this. I had this some I won't go into the details of it, but somebody did something just the other day, and it really got on my nerves. And I watched as all my judgmental thoughts came up. And then I actually applied something that's in the book. I said, how would I respond to this if I didn't take it personally? Which opens up a whole world of creative thinking and compassion and possibility. So part of this process begins with being compassionate and empathic with ourselves. that we may have been conditioned to be judgmental. We may have been conditioned to feel fear. That's okay. Don't worry that that might be your first reaction. What counts is how quickly can you get to your second reaction of the Buddha's wisdom, of compassion, of choice, of freedom. So that's my sense of how it works.
And you have a whole chapter on humility.
Yes.
And I think that's so important to hold on to, you know, is the humble nature of ourselves, that maybe we're misjudging, maybe we don't understand the situation well enough, maybe we're judging somebody wrongly. And, you know, not to take it so personally, so if we come from a humble place of, well, maybe I'm just not ready to hear this properly.
Well, you're so right. I mean, the reason this first chapter of the book is called Embrace Humility, and the reason it's the first chapter is that if you don't embrace humility, you're probably not going to apply anything else in the book. Because it's that humility inspires us to be curious. And the curiosity helps us to ask questions, helps us to follow through, helps us avoid taking our communication for granted. I mean, this is the classic line is, you know, what's the biggest problem in communication? And the answer is it's the illusion that it has taken place.
Well, I guess that I love the word curiosity. You know, I think you're right in that we have to maintain that sense, that, but it's really also, let's call it openness to discovery of what we don't know and what we might be judging or assuming that can color this whole thing in the wrong way.
Yes. Yes, and this is the thing is, once again, to become aware of our tendency to assume, to judge, to take for granted, to question ourselves, and to ask, is there, maybe there's something that I'm missing here? Because this is everyday experience. People in businesses, in organizations of all kinds, in families. How often do you hear somebody say, oh, but I thought you meant, but wait a minute, didn't you get it when I said, and people think they agree, and then they do something different. Because people didn't take the time to really follow through with their communication. So this is not some shocking news bulletin that you know, before, when I first started doing organizational consulting 38 years ago, the number one problem in surveys of corporate culture challenges was communication. And that was before text messaging and email and so on, which makes it worse, because at least if we're talking to each other in person, we get to read each other's body language, we get to hear each other's voice tone. Even if we're talking
and eye contact,
phone, there's eye contact and there's the voice tonality. So emoticons don't really do it for us. So it's so easy to misunderstand what somebody writes in an email or a text. And even though there's more scientific information about how to communicate, the standard of communication seems to be dropping dramatically, which is why I felt compelled to write the book.
So it's really about empathy and knowing where you come from in empathy too, because empathy is a very complicated thing.
Yes.
We can't always agree on what we're empathizing about.
Well, and it's just, you know, it's one of these things that people tend to have their habitual pattern of empathizing Do you know this idea? I introduced it in the book, the idea of the empathy spectrum.
Right.
The spectrum of empathy from people who are hyper-empathic, and they feel everybody else's feelings, but they have trouble looking after themselves. And the other side of that scale is the psychopath who has no concern for anybody else's feelings and is totally focused on themselves. And most of us, you know, are somewhere in the middle. We all know some people who are, you know, pretty empathic and seem to be very understanding. We know some people who seem to be pretty good at looking after their own interests but not as sensitive to others. And the simple, this is really simple but very powerful, is if you are more hyper-empathic, it's important for you to learn to be more assertive and self-empathic. And if you're more bold and assertive and good at looking after yourself, obviously you need some help with being more considerate and putting yourself in other people's shoes. And so it's something everybody needs to work on wherever you are on the empathy spectrum.
Yeah, I think empathy is can be misunderstood in what we personally empathize about, because some people are more empathetic individually, where they care about each person. And then other people are empathetic more, let's call it communally or tribally, where the empathy is how does this affect the tribe, or how does this affect our, you know, the family or the corporation or whatever their allegiance is, that mm-hmm. they're not looking at people as individuals, they're looking at them as members of their community that don't care about anything personally and really only care about the well-being of the larger community.
And one of the, I'd say the great challenge of the whole human race, no kidding, is to expand empathy to all beings, as opposed to just the immediate members of right. your tribe.
Right. I call that collective yeah. collective empathy.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's it really is probably the most critical issue. And it's the real underlying big picture purpose of this book, is to contribute to a more empathic and compassionate and kinder, inclusive, intelligent, and harmonious world.
Right, and that's what's important about reading your book, is that it makes you more aware of our own behaviors and of other people's behaviors, and you can read them better. You can become more objective in how people are presenting themselves and what their allegiances are, what their empathy is, what their awareness is of individual souls, and how they respond to that. You know, then you can manage the situation better and even know how to connect to them better to see what their priorities are.
Yes, yes, yes. This is it. It's having a sense of awareness about all of this that normally just happens below awareness. And it's so easy to criticize and look, you know, read the news, see, you know, the stories of people being insensitive, people being narcissistic, people being greedy, people being selfish, people doing all sorts of terrible things. And yes, you know, that's a valid observation, fine. But if you want to make a difference in the world, you're not going to make any difference by focusing your attention on how dysfunctional other people are and getting together with your friends and complaining about it. But unfortunately, that's the way a lot of people think they connect, is let's just get together and commiserate. And, you know, that word commiserate means to be miserable together. So they get together and talk about how awful and insensitive and unempathic other people are.
Many are.
The idea is
to make better choices in life as to, you know, what's going on and where shall I put my energies.
Exactly, and make sure that you, in your own life, are not unconsciously acting out any of those behaviors that you are condemning in others. If we all could hold up that mirror on a daily basis, then I think we would be much more. Well, to me, that's just the way we're going to build a better world. It's by acting within our circle of influence. It's by doing something different in our own relationships now by enriching those relationships, by bringing out the best in the people that we interact with every single day. If you can have a harmonious family life, if you can have harmony with the people you associate with at work every day, if you can treat strangers with kindness and respect and dignity on a regular basis, then let's expand out and make a better world, starting with what we actually have control over.
Well, we're actually getting lessons every single day, major lessons, by watching our president.
Oh, God. it's actually true. You know, this is a national teachable moment.
Yes. How not
right?
to be.
Well, you know, we're laughing about it, but it's actually very serious because, you know, we're all concerned about climate change, but most of us are. the real climate change that impeding on our well-being is the emotional climate, because it turns out that when leaders are rude or dismissive or abusive towards others, it has a very negative effect on an organizational culture. And there's a lot of research on this by Jane Dutton.
Yeah, but I think we're also reacting to it in as you say, teachable ways, that, you know, we go, no, that's not right. And I think more people are waking up to that.
Well, I think and that's why I'm actually optimistic about this, because I think it's showing, it's so, you know, the research says it just doesn't work. And it hasn't worked for a long time. And what's fascinating is what you're seeing are a lot of our institutions, leaders in a lot of our institutions, business leaders, military leaders, are actually standing up and demonstrating how to be a leader, how
Yes.
to be inclusive, how to be respectful, how to value every single member of the society. So we're getting a stark counterpoint, but it helps. You have to turn it around and figure out, okay, it's almost a parody of it's like a, you know, Seinfeld thing. It's actually, I have this in the book, is, you know, do the opposite. So what we see coming out of Washington, it's a master class in what not to do and how not to be.
Right.
But just make sure that you really are working on yourself rather than just luxuriating in how easy it is to condemn something that's so obviously absurd.
Well, when we know how we don't want to be, then we can be more observant of ourselves not being that way.
We hope that. Amen. And that, you know, the
right,
book is like
right.
a specific that's, guide to do that. You're right.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's really, you know, about understanding, and this is something that I focus on a lot in my work, because I counsel people and I work with the Human Design System, which is helping people understand the mechanics of personality, their personalities, and understanding how we're all so different from each other, so that we can relate to people as not having to be us. You know, if you're married, you know that, you know, you're not married to your identical personality.
I hope not.
Right. And so you have to develop strategies in the world, as everyone is a different person who comes from a different mechanics of personality, and then learn how to include that in your life. And it's, you know, it makes us bigger for that. And, you know, not making assumptions, and we talked about this earlier, not making assumptions and recognizing the differences between us, but yet there's something that you call in the book, which, I mean, it's not a new term, but common touch, that speaks at the soul level of each of us. So I think there's more about knowing the difference between the soul level and the nature of the mechanics of how we function. And but I, you know, I'd like to go into this deeper with you. I know the show is coming near to an end, but you have so much in your book that is about how to be all these things. So many examples. You and I are both martial artists, and we've learned from that experience how to be more strategic and make things work better. And there's a lot in your book about that. So I would love to talk with you further, and maybe we can have another interview soon.
I would be delighted to do that.
Oh, good. Thank you. Because I'm enjoying, there's so much meat in your book. It's the Art of Connection, and your name is Michael J. Gelb. Is there a website or a way to learn for people to learn more?
Yes, thanks for asking. It's michaelgelb.com. That's G-E-L-B, michaelgelb.com. And this book, The Art of Connection, 7 Relationship Building Skills Every Leader Needs Now. And a lot of people know me from my 1998 book, How to Think Like Leonardo da Vinci. So this is Da Vinci and lessons in how to connect and build relationships in the Art of Connection.
Yeah, and the book is just so full of great ideas and understandings, and I think everybody will benefit. I've benefited a lot from reading it, and that's why I'm excited about talking with you more about it.
Super.
So thank you so much for being a guest on Energy Stew, and I look forward to reconnecting and helping our audience connect better. So
wonderful.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you so much.
And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at PRN.FM. I can be reached at peter@heartriver.org or 212-222-7748. I'd love to hear from you, and thanks so much for listening. Thank you.